You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal here in a deathly hot Henderson, Nevada. But all the same, we thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by our pals at Coors Light. And man, we're going to need some Coors Lights to get through this incredible heat wave that we are all living in. But we have a great version of the show today. Very, very excited. In just a few minutes, we're going to welcome in our pal Levi Edwards from Raiders.com. Talk a little minicamp. Minicamp now officially in the rearview mirror, meaning that Levi, myself, the players, the coaches, we are all technically on summer break, I should say, and meaning we have a few weeks to kind of relax, hit the reset button, recharge before we come back and attack training camp 2021 in a major way. So once Levi stops by, we're going to talk all things minicamp, what we're looking ahead to in training camp, how we're going to spend the next 6 weeks, hashtag and more. So make sure you stick around. But before we do that, it wouldn't be an episode of Upon Further Review unless we began with our transactions. And this week, just a single transaction, which occurred on June 10th, which is now just about a week ago, where the silver and black waived safety Kamaz Siverand. So that's it. Single transaction. And on that note, we welcome him in. You read him, you hear him, you see him on Raiders.com, our pal Levi Edwards. Levi, first things first, brother. It is hot. It is very, very dry and hot. How are you hanging out? How are you surviving what is technically a historic heat wave for us here in the desert?
Well, I must say I'm built for it. I'm a Bama boy, grew up in Charlotte, spent a lot of years in Alabama as well, so I'm from the Southeast. I know what heat's like, especially if you're outside playing in the heat. I know what it's like, but at the end of the day, 115 is 115. Can't prepare for 115. There's not 115 in Alabama, so I'm trying my best to kind of get used to it. Still a little difficult, especially when you walk outside and you feel like you've been in the sauna for about 30 minutes. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is braced for 115. None of us are built for 115. But, you know, we're doing the best we can. We're staying in the AC. We're hanging out. We're drinking a lot of water, making sure we're doing all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, we're not alone in kind of adjusting to life in the heat this week. The Silver and Black wrap-up mini camp earlier this week. And morning practices, 7:30 a.m., bright and early out on the practice field. And now, Levi, we're done. Training camp officially in the rearview mirror. Coach Gruden has wrapped it up. The guys are gone. The guys were away. The guys now have a chance to rest and recharge, like we said. But when you look at when you look at minicamp and what we've seen over the past couple days, for you, what kind of stands out in terms of what we saw on the field? Keeping in mind that the guys aren't wearing pads. They're essentially just going through drills and shorts and T-shirts. Obviously, no contact, full contact or anything like that. But what stood out to you when you had a chance to watch practice the past couple days?
First things first, I definitely say one thing that really stuck out to me was seeing Yannick out on the field doing drills. He's a freakish athlete. Guy can go. He's fast. He's physical. He's big. He's looking really good. He put on some muscle this offseason. So being able to see him out there yesterday was really great. Him and Max Crosby are definitely putting in a lot of work. And you heard Yannick put the league on notice. He said this is about to be the best pass-rushing duo in the league. And that's not a cap. When you look at it, he has four consecutive eight-sack seasons. Crosby has 17 sacks in two seasons, the most of any player in the past 2 years. You put those two guys together, they're going to do damage. So that was really stuck out to me. They both look in great shape. I really like what I've been seeing from those two guys. Plus, adding Cleland, he's put on some muscle. He's looking good.
Cleland looks big. Cleland's a lot bigger than he did a year ago, for sure.
Yeah, so he's put on some muscle. New number, who is this? You know what I mean? With the 99 going on back to the Clemson days. So I think those three guys, they're going to be a hell of a task for a couple of quarterbacks in this league.
You know, we're going to talk about the defensive line a little bit more as we kind of go through the show today. But I'm glad you brought up Yannick. Obviously, his presence here, a big storyline surrounding the team this week. And Josh Jacobs as well, the first we've seen Josh in a minute. And I'm curious, it's kind of the way of the NFL now where, you know, you have a lot of guys that show up, a lot of guys that report. But I think it's important to remember that the portion of the offseason program prior to this week was all voluntary. And so you have like you have guys like Josh and Unique who come in for the mandatory portion, who do their own thing, who get their body right, headed into the mandatory portion. And I personally don't have any issues with that. These guys are grown men, they're adults, they're professionals. And with guys like Josh and Unique, if they want to go and be in constant communication with the coaching staff and say, hey, this is my plan, this is what I'd like to do, and they get the blessing of the staff to do that, I see no issue with them doing what they need to do on their own and then showing up for the portion where they have to be in the house.
Well, you just hit it right on the head. Unique, he's not at Maryland. Josh Jacobs, he's not at Alabama. These are two grown men in the NFL getting paid to play this game, and they both are capable of holding themselves accountable, which they clearly have because you see them both return to mandatory minicamp. They're both in great shape.
I wouldn't even say return. They just showed up. Yeah, they showed came. Up. Yeah.
They just showed up. They didn't even return. They just showed up. So they're both in great shape. They both look like they've done what it takes to be great going into this next season. Josh Jacobs, he was shaking people. He was looking good. Looking very fluid. I noticed how he's also trying to improve himself as a pass catcher and in his route running, and that looks great. So it's these guys just showed up. They are about their business. They did what they had to do throughout the offseason up to this point, and they were in constant communication with the team. So there's nothing wrong with that. They're grown men.
Exactly. And I think to me, the term that I come back to a lot in thinking about Josh and Unique over the past couple of days is communication. I mean, you heard from Josh the other day, and Josh said, look, I talked to Coach Gruden, I talked to Coach Kirby. They knew what I was doing. They knew what my priorities were, what I wanted to do, how I wanted to get there, and they supported me in doing that. So these people that try to say, oh, you know, I'm not even using Josh and Unique as an example, but just across the league, oh, player X didn't show up to OTA number 7, or player Y was on vacation. Like, chill out. Right. And I understand that it's a time of the year where every single move in the NFL gets dissected and dissected again and all that stuff. But the reality is this: Josh and Unique did what they needed to do. They came to Vegas, showed up when they needed to show up, looked fantastic. And we will see them with the rest of the other 88 guys on this roster in, what is it, five and a half weeks. And we're off to training camp.
I mean, the tape doesn't lie. The results doesn't lie. At the end of the day, we've seen what both of these guys can do. I wouldn't really be very concerned. I think it's just going to be on a whole nother level this upcoming year, especially with the help that both of these guys have. They're both grown men. They both know how to hold themselves accountable. You know, this is not anything brand new. They showed up like they were supposed to. They look good. I don't see why there's any reason, you know, to have any speculation about it.
Nope, none at all. So, on that note, moving on. We heard from Coach Gruden for the first time in a bit earlier this week. Always good to hear from JG. I like the spicy Gruden, too. Like, this is full offseason coach. He's I wouldn't say in his midseason form in terms of his sound bites and all that kind of stuff, because I think the best version of Gruden that we love is Gruden after the game, right? That's when you get the best bites, the best, you know, hype from JG. But all the same, I think he had a few really interesting things that he said during his session earlier this week. And the first one that kind of came off the top of mind to me was when he was asked about the practices, and he was talking about, oh, you know, we're practicing in the morning now, yada, yada, yada. But he goes, our practices really, at this portion of the year, we're more instruction-based than anything. He goes, we're trying to implement our system. We're trying to get these guys in the classroom to understand really what we want out of them schematically. And I thought that was interesting because I think if you're a fan of this team, if you're a fan of any NFL team, I think that there's the assumption that, oh, these guys show up in, what is it, you know, a month ago, they show up in mid-May, and they're just boom, 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 we're hitting each other, we're going through drills. And that's not really the reality of this portion of the year in the NFL. This portion of the year, the offseason program, is really meant to learn. And the fact that Coach and really the entire staff is leaning into that education portion of the offseason program, I thought was very refreshing to hear.
Most definitely. And Gruden was talking about even the development of Ruggs and the development of the rookies from last year. Those guys, they didn't have a full offseason. They didn't have any.
They didn't have any offseason.
It was stay at home, learn these plays through Zoom. Can you imagine having to learn a playbook on Zoom? Like, that's insane. And so these guys come in with no offseason, and they're still learning. There's guys on this team who are still learning alongside the rookies. So that's what this really is just education and re-education, really just cracking down and knowing what everyone is doing, knowing everybody's role, and being able to fulfill it to the max. And that's something that even Gus spoke on, I heard earlier last week, where he was just saying that he's trying to get guys to know what they're doing in this defense. He's really been pleased with Trayvon Merrick, with him being able to know what he's doing and learn what to do and get a grasp of the defense. And that's really the big key, is you have so many guys that just came in, had the most dramatic year of their lives as a player, or really maybe even as people. So it's just learning the defense, really learning the offense, really knowing their roles and educating themselves.
Yeah, I mean, really, you talk about guys that, you know, not even the young guys that are still learning. Everyone on that defense is learning a new defense. So whether you're Max Crosby, Cleveland Furl, whoever it is, or one of the rookies, you are learning that defense. So the fact that really so much of this portion of the offseason is, like we've said, about education, about re-education, about really pounding those fundamentals, the verbiage of how we want to do things here, I think is you know, very encouraging to hear. And then because of that, because of the work that you put in for this, whatever it is, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, now you come into training camp in just over a month and a half, and now you have such a better base of knowledge. It's a lot easier for you to say, I should to attack the training camp, to attack the playbook, to attack everything that you want to do. And so it's not overly sexy. I get that. I know that everyone out of practice wants to see 85-yard touchdowns and the quarterback going down, yada, yada. I get that. I want to see that. But that's not what this portion of the year is. So it might not be the most dramatic, the most exciting, but it is the fundamentals of what this team, this 2021 Raiders team, is going to be built on.
Well, Eddie, something that I love how you just brought that up, because something that I always say, my mindset has always been, people just want to see the results. There's so many people that don't really get to see or really care to see any of the work that gets put into the results or how things come to be.
Yeah, because it's not flashy.
No one – people just want to see the guy go up on the stage and flex for the competition, but they're not willing to see the workout that goes into that process. And that's just for anything in life. And so this is the grinding part of the year. This is where people are learning. This is where people are trying to educate themselves. So that way – on Monday night football against the Ravens, you can see them put in, you know, work and strive to win games and do big things. It's these moments right here where you're trying to learn plays. This is where it really comes down to moments like that.
Yeah, 1,000%. And look, a guy that, you know, we've known over the past couple of years that is never going to shortcut anything, that is always going to put in that extra work, that's going to be in there early, stay late, insert whatever sports cliche you want, is Derek Carr. And we heard from Derek for the first time this offseason as well, along with JG. And obviously the quote that is getting all the run, and I think for good reason too, is Derek's line where he said, look, I want to be a Raider for life. And I think that it's an important thing for him to say, just period. Because, I mean, if you're the franchise quarterback and you speak with such finality and such, I don't think absoluteness is a word, but like when you speak with such conviction that this is where you want to be, this is where my mind immediately goes. Derek Carr doesn't say, hey, I want to be here for the rest of my playing career. I'm going to root this team on until the day that I die, essentially. You don't say that unless you are optimistic about what you are seeing within these walls right now, right? Like, I'm not crazy to kind of take it that way?
Most definitely. And he has a lot to be optimistic about. You have two young receivers in Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards that they put around you. You have John Brown, who Carr also said yesterday is going to fill that role of Nelson Aguilar, and they're building great chemistry together. You have Drake and you have Jacobs, who are two top-tier running backs in this league. And I forgot to mention number 83, you know, the single-season reception record holder for the Raiders, Mr. Waller. He has all of that on his offense. So why would he want to leave? Why would he want to go anywhere else at this point when he has the best offense around him that he's might have ever had since he's been with this organization? Something that he said that really stuck out to me, even above that quote of wanting to be a Raider for life, is he's the kind of guy, when the ship is sinking, he's going to sink with the ship.
And yeah, he's a captain.
That meant a lot to me. He's the captain of this team. He's someone that's like, look, I've been loyal to this team. This team's been loyal to me. If we're going to go up, we're going to go up. If we're going to go down, we're going to go down. And that's the kind of quarterback you want to have. I feel like all 32 teams in this NFL, in this league, would want a quarterback who would say something like that.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that if you're a fan of this team, that's just got to be music to your ears. We're like, look, you know, the beauty about fans is that regardless of who the quarterback is, regardless of who the coach is, all that kind of stuff, they're going to root for their team. So the fact that you have your quarterback who's essentially saying, look, when I'm done, I'm still going to be rooting for this team. I mean, it speaks to the fact that Derek wants to be here. He wants to succeed here. I think it would mean a lot to him and to this organization if he was the guy who could take us to that proverbial mountaintop. It's just exciting to hear. And like I said, you don't say that unless you feel good about the direction that this place is going. But all the same, and this is the case for any team across the NFL, Levi, there's questions headed into training camp. There's questions for us on the offense, on the defense, wherever. So if you're Derek and you're looking at your offense, an offense filled with literally weapons upon weapons upon weapons. We talked about Kenyon Drake. We talked about Darren. We talked about the wide receivers. But there are questions that remain. So for you, bigger questions surrounding this offense now headed into training camp, now that we've had a chance to kind of relax, kind of reset, do you have more questions about the state of the offensive line, or do you have more questions about what this wide receiving core is going to look like in 2021?
I really have more questions about the offensive line. I feel that the receiver core, I feel like is looking pretty solid. They had really good results last year. They were putting up about 26 to 30 points a game last year, and it's mostly stayed intact. The offensive line is the thing that's changed the most. You have a guy who you take at number 17 who John Gruden and Mike Mayock have both came out and said, look, this guy is going to be our starting right tackle day one. And then you have another guy, Andre James, who hasn't played a whole lot, but he's familiar with this system. He's familiar with this offense, and a lot of people are high on him, and a lot of people want to see him succeed. And then you have a guy named Colton Miller who's about to step up and be that next leader for the offensive line who just got paid. So you have all these questions, and I'm really intrigued to continue to see where this storyline goes because I feel like this could be a very great young group. But a lot of people don't realize that yet, or a lot of people are not fully aware of that yet. So I want them to keep on putting the league on notice as to what this definitely could be.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on most everything there. I think for me, the bigger question is the offensive line just headed into camp. But I think for me, the questions are surrounding it's not even individuals, right? It's just more that we know how important in John Gruden's offense, and look, it's every offense in the NFL, but how important the offensive line is. The offensive line can either take you from a 7 to a 9 or from a 7 to a 4, right? Like they are the engine that makes all of this go. And we know we got in Colton. Colton's a stud left tackle. Andre James, we think that he's going to be really, really good in 2021. But there is going to be a learning curve. You go from Rodney Hudson, who was arguably one of the best, if not the best, center in the NFL. And now Andre steps in and Andre has a role to fill. And I don't think anyone expects him to be Rodney Hudson 2.0, but there is going to be an adjustment. You heard Derek say the other day, he goes, you know, next year it'll be the first time in what, 5-6 seasons where I have a different center. And he does have familiarity with Andre. Let's not get that twisted. They've practiced together. He brought up the fact that when Rod had off days that Andre was the guy. So we're not going into this completely blind. We're not trying to learn each other, but there are questions around that line. And I think that you look at the pieces. Yes, Alex Leatherwood is going to be a stud at right tackle. He's also going to be a rookie in a really, really tough division filled with a lot of stud defensive ends. So I guess I just come at it from a place of, let's see what these guys can do. I think all of us feel internally really, really good about what they can be. Now it's just a matter of, okay, let's see it. And it's hard to kind of gauge that out in OTAs and minicamp. Guys aren't really hitting each other. But once we get to camp, I think we're going to have a much better idea of what this group is going to be. And going back to the wide receivers, I'm with you. Look, change the names, whatever. Derek is going to put those dudes in a great position to succeed. Now, Derek needs time to work, though, right? So if that offensive line isn't on their P's and Q's, then everything kind of, you know, adjusts from there. So I am very optimistic on the state of the offense in general. I don't know how you couldn't be after seeing them a year ago and now seeing the additions that they've had. But I would like to see the offensive line with a little bit of time on task. I would like to see them against live competition to hopefully, like we were talking about, become the best versions of themselves and really kind of be the offensive line that we anticipate they can be this year.
Well, at the end of the day, the offensive line has one man named Tom Cable.
Yeah.
And I think Tom Cable is going to have them. I think Tom Cable's going to have him be all right.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, let's look what he did last year. It felt like every week, every half that there was a different five guys out in front of Derek. And by and large, those guys played really, really well. And you were 100% right, where Tom Cable deserves a ton of credit for that. And he ain't going anywhere. So I love the fact that Cable can be, really the rudder of that offensive line shape, getting these guys where they need to go. But Levi, now shifting to the defensive side of the football, heard from Gus Bradley earlier this week as well. And Gus, when I heard Gus, and I feel like we've heard from him now a handful of times. He's done some stuff with us on Raiders.com as well as his media conferences. But he just strikes me as like the most positive, like, dude that you want to grab a beer with, as like your older uncle kind of guy. Like, he just has such a good energy to him, doesn't he?
Yes, Coors Light, of course, if you're going to grab a beer with Gus Bradley. Definitely very high energy, very positive guy. Have not heard a single bad thing from any player, any person in headquarters about Gus Bradley. Everybody loves him. Everybody loves him, not even just as a coach, as a defensive coordinator. And that's what's great is you have players that are like, oh, he's a great coach. I love his scheme. A lot of these guys are just talking about him as a person. They're saying he's a good person. He's a good man. And it's easy to play for someone, put all of your energy, put all of your time, put 110% behind a man that you truly do enjoy playing for, that you feel is going to go to bat for you. And I feel that the Raiders have a defensive coordinator that will definitely go to bat for his players, and I feel that the defense will go to bat for him.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really obviously the goal in 2021. And in addition to them going to bat for Gus, but we need them to see a marked improvement as well. And I think that obviously we're probably not going to have a great idea of what this defense is going to look like schematically until we get to the preseason games. But, you know, we do come into this situation with a lot of optimism, albeit a lot of questions too on the defensive side of the football. But one guy who seems to have really stood out over the past handful of weeks, and we've heard it from players, from coaches, you know, from a lot of folks, is Nate Hobbs. John Gruden brought him up the other day. Gus Bradley's brought him up. I think Trayvon also brought him up. And this seems like a guy who, no shocker here, because we know how much Mayock and Gruden love this, a versatile guy, a guy who can do a lot on the defense. He can play. You can drop him down into the slot. You can play him on the outside. But he seems like a dude that is just making noise in the best possible way. And if you're a rookie in his shoes, you're in his situation, that's all you want to be doing come mid-June. And then you want to carry that momentum in a training camp. But I'm kind of curious, what have you seen from Nate Hobbs over the past, month and a half, whatever it is?
Well, Nate Hobbs plays hard, and that's what it comes down to. He's someone that wants to be here. He's someone that wants to improve. He's someone that wants to be on the field when it comes down to it. Raider Nation, I just want to coin this right now while I have the time, because first press conference he came in, he said he was going to be the greatest underdog that we've ever seen. So Nate the Great Underdog Hobbs. That's his nickname. I'm sticking with it. That's what I'm rolling with for Nate Hobbs. So hopefully we can have that proclaimed as Nate the Great Underdog Hobbs. And he's been playing like it. He has a great story. He has definitely been slept on a lot throughout his career and has made it up to this point. And he plays like it. You see a passion. You see a hunger. You see an energy in him when he's on the field. And that's what the Raiders need. That's what the Raiders' defensive identity has historically been. And I really like how he's been playing, and he's been making a lot of noise. He's been getting a lot of love from his coaches, been getting a lot of love from guys like Trayvon. So I'm really excited to see how he continues to develop.
Yeah, I mean, 1,000% a guy to keep an eye on once we get to training camp and we start seeing these one-on-ones on a more consistent basis and all that. But I think what's exciting for me is you look at a guy like Nate Hobbs, a guy that we anticipate having some sort of role in this defense, and let's not forget he's also a rookie, so I don't think it's fair to put any kind of undue or unjust expectations on his very young shoulders at this point. But he's a guy that we think is going to play a role on this defense in 2021. What role that is, TBD. But in addition to Nate Hobbs, you also have a guy like Nevin Lawson, who Coach Gruden and Coach Bradley also brought up. Nevin Lawson now going into his 8th NFL season, a guy that we have seen kind of flex that versatility that Mayock and Gruden love so much, a guy who can be on the outside. And I feel like I'm talking about Nate Hobbs again, a guy who can be on the outside, a guy who could drop down and play in the nickel. So the fact that you have guys on two different ends of the spectrum, you have a young rookie, a young dude motivated, trying to come in, wants to play. And then on the other side of things, in the same room, you have a guy headed into his 8th year who's probably looking over his shoulder saying, look, I love you, young fella, but this is still my time. So I feel like that's such a good dynamic to have, guys competing, guys pushing each other, and frankly, guys pushing each other on a defense that needs to be a lot better in 2021 for this defense to succeed.
Most definitely. A little competition's never hurt nobody. You know, that's how I see it. So you have exactly that same dynamic that you were just talking about. You have a young, hungry guy who wants to make an impact on this team immediately, and then you have another guy who's looking behind his shoulder, seeing these young guys come up, trying to take food off of his table. And he's like, you know, I can still play. I can still be elite at this position. And Evan Lawson has definitely a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom to impart on that young secondary. And I feel that if they can just combine together and really just compete and really just go at it, I feel like they can both play significant roles. What those roles are, like you said, TBD. But they're both great players that are very high energy, put in a lot of passion. So I'm really excited to see how they can combine and get things done. Another guy kind of like that is Tyree Gillespie. He's definitely been standing out at that free safety position. I think that he's another high energy guy that's trying to make a mark and kind of see where he can play a role on this defense as well.
And we talk about that nickel corner too. Let's not sleep on Amik Robertson either, a guy who played, you know, a little bit as a rookie, but now headed into year two, I think the expectations fairly for him are also going up. So I guess it all goes back to the point of this, Levi. The cupboard is not bare defensively. We have options on defense, and if you're Gus Bradley, you have to be so excited when you go back and you watch the film and say, hey, I like what this guy does. I like what that guy does. And oh, by the way, I really like this guy too.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to feel good. You have to feel excited. And I'm curious to see what Gus comes up with over the next 6 weeks in the lab to, you know, be in a position when we get to camp, like, all right, like, let's really see what these dudes can do. But he also, you know, said today, or the other day, I should say, you know, he said, you can't have enough pass rushers on a defense. And now enter the big bad Yannick Ngakoue in the house looking shredded, looking like, you know, Mr. Universe. The man looks incredible. But I think what was great for me about hearing Yannick the other day was this is not a man who is short on confidence. You said it at the top. He boldly proclaimed, didn't stutter at all. He goes, look, me and Max Crosby are going to be the best defense or best pass rushing duo in the NFL. And he did not. He said that with his full heart. He said that with all of his conviction. And so if you're a fan of this team, you have to feel really, really good about that dynamic duo. And then, oh, by the way, we got Clee Ferrell in the middle. Clee Ferrell in the middle. That's a hard one to say. Clee Ferrell in the middle as well.
Like I said at the top, you can say what you want about Yannick's comments, but that's no cap. Look at the numbers. Those guys combined for over 15 sacks last year. Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue. Those guys are elite pass rushers in this league. They're both young. You have a guy who's 26, 23 years old on that defensive line, and then you add Cleveland Farrell, who's looking jacked and ready to go. You add Solomon Thomas, who's jacked and ready to go. All of these guys are looking like it could be – this honestly looks like it could be the most dangerous pass-rushing defensive line the Raiders have had in recent memory. Things are really looking up for these guys. And they've all looked hungry during this process where, like you said, it's OTAs. People are just trying to learn. People are just trying to get adjusted to things. But when you look at the defensive line and kind of the energy that they've been putting towards these OTAs and been putting into minicamp, they seem like they really want to go and get after it. And I love to see that.
Yeah, and let's not forget, in terms of pass rushers, Malcolm Kuntz, Quentin Jefferson, Darius Phylon. I mean, Gus Bradley was saying, like, look, we want to have two waves. We want to have two defensive lines that are going to be able to come at you. And, I mean, just by us rattling off those names, I mean, it does feel like they're going to have a lot of options. And I think what's great is that because of that, you know where you're really going to appreciate that is in the fourth quarter of games where Max is not going to be tired. Max is just going to be warm, ready to go. Yannick is going to be warm, ready to go. Malcolm Kuntz is going to be fired up, ready to get in there. And you're going to have that really, we talk about it all the time. You hear defensive coordinators say it all the time. That rotation of players, staying fresh, constantly putting pressure on the quarterback. And that is something that we need to see in 2021. We didn't see it enough in 2020. We saw it for, you know, bits and pieces here. We saw it for a quarter here, a half there. But sustained pressure on the quarterback is going to have to be the name of the game for this defense in 2021. But hey, Levi, before we talk about training camp, before we kind of look into some now of our biggest questions headed into training camp, I just want to remind you all that Raider Nation, Allegiant Stadium is accepting applications for a variety of part-time positions, including security, parking, custodial, and food services. Every Sunday and Thursday from June 6th to June 27th, Allegiant Stadium will be hosting in-person hiring events from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. The interviews will be held on-site at 5525 Polaris Avenue. Once again, that's 5525 Polaris Avenue across the street from the stadium. All applicants that are there must present a valid form of identification. And for any more info, please visit AllegiantStadium.com/careers. Once again, that is AllegiantStadium.com/careers. So Levi, now we look ahead to training camp. We are now at the beginning of our summer break. There's a lot of fun to be had. There's a lot of sleep to be had. There's a lot of time with our loved ones and not being here to be had. But we still have questions. Questions headed into training camp. And this is the time where we can really sit back, reflect, and figure out, okay, what do we still need to know between now and the end of July? So I'll just start with you. Biggest question for Levi Edwards over the next 6 weeks before we get to camp. Like, what do you want to know?
I want to get to know what the starting offensive line is going to look like. And I know that's really cliche. Sorry, I really can't.
But I mean, it's a legitimate question considering all the, you know, kind of overhaul of this line that has occurred over the past 3-4 months. I think that's a very legitimate question.
I definitely would say the offensive line starting to shape up, see who is in that rotation, not even just who is going to be the starting offensive lineman, but who's going to be those guys behind him, because we saw how many different rotations that Tom Cable and that line had to go through last year. So that second string, honestly, and what that shapes out to be will be just as important, in my opinion, as the guys who are going to be starting. So I really want to see what that rotation of that offensive line looks like. Sam Young just resigned and came back, so yeah, I think he's going to be a great leader for that offensive line to go with Richie and to go with Denzel. So I'm really curious just to see what they look like. Of course, the secondary, I'm really curious to see how much Trayvon Mullen has improved, how much Abrams improved, see how those guys continue to adjust to this new scheme, along with Casey Hayward, who has good chemistry with Gus Bradley. They had some successful seasons over in Los Angeles together, so I think that he's going to be a guy that really gets the rest of the young defensive backs in shape. So those are my two biggest questions.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the offensive line one is a valid question. I think it's obviously something that we are going to have to see how it shakes out once we get to training camp. But for me, the biggest question, until proven otherwise, is going to be this defense. And how does this defense come into its own in 2021? Now, we're still living in these pseudo bizarro world times a little bit. So we haven't really gotten as much of a kind of insight into this defense as I think we would in traditional times. But I just have a ton of questions, right? How does this defense look? Does it look dramatically different schematically than what we saw a year ago? Who are going to be these plug and play guys? Like, how does Max play off of Yannick and vice versa? How does Klee, this bigger, badder version of Klee Farrell, how does he kind of fit into this mix? We talked about the slot corner a little bit. What is that nickel corner? Who is that? Who is that guy? So I think for me, I just have a lot of questions about the defense in general. And thankfully, we will get to, you know, we'll get answers to our questions sooner than later. But we really won't have a full idea of what this defense is going to be until, gosh, what, 5-6 weeks into the regular season. But I am just so intrigued by this defense because I feel pretty confident about what we're going to get from this offense in 2021. I think we're going to get a better, more efficient version of what we saw in 2020. And 2020 was pretty darn good. At the numbers, and yes, there is always room for improvement. If you have John Gruden as your head coach, there is always going to be room for improvement. There are always going to be things that John wants done better, faster, more efficiently, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to feel pretty good about this offense. And so for me, I will look at this defense, and I head into this season with a lot of optimism surrounding this defense. I think Gus Bradley is 1,000% the guy that is going to take this defense from where it is right now to where it needs to go. But all the same, I'm kind of curious to see how it all shakes out.
I am very curious as well. Everybody has all these questions, not enough answers. it's just very surreal that we are that close to the regular season, that close to even preseason. Training camp is right around the corner. So I'm really excited to see how things really shake up.
I know. I mean, it is crazy that training camp literally is like right around the corner now. I think, five and a half weeks, whatever it is. So what are you going to do now during your first pseudo-normal NFL offseason? You got any plans?
I don't really have any concrete plans. Really right now, I'm just looking forward to just kind of getting back in the gym, just lifting, playing as much basketball as possible. Of course, I feel like I'm like a many Americans who got out of shape and gained a lot of unnecessary weight during the pandemic. So I'm going to get my cardio up, get a couple of basketball games in, and, really get back in shape. And definitely have a lot of family back in Birmingham that I want to go visit. So definitely going to try to scoot back to Sweet Home Alabama, see a couple of family and friends that I truly do love. So I think that's kind of what's on my docket right now.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, that's what you're supposed to be doing this time of the year, right? You're supposed to go see your friends, your family, and say, hey, it was great seeing you. I'll see you in February once the season ends, or come out for the bye. You know what I mean? So I'm doing very much the same. I'm looking forward to kind of seeing some of my pals, obviously spending some time with the wife, making sure where everything is copacetic on that end of things before we obviously dive back into training camp. And it feels like we all kind of bury our heads in the football sand until we emerge, hopefully after a very long and successful postseason run. But Levi, before we get out of here, we're going to just crack one ice cold Coors Light on the way out, as is custom. And today I was thinking about it. You and I were out on the practice field bright and early this morning. And I was thinking, who am I going to crack a cold one for today? And my cold one today is going out to all of our equipment guys that are out running around like crazy, that are moving the sleds, that are getting the ladders in the right positions for these dudes. It is hot, and they are not million-dollar athletes. They are just normal guys like you and me who are out there, busting their behind, making sure that everything goes smoothly for practice. And they, not only are they doing all this stuff in the crazy heat, they're going to deserve this break that we're about to go on. They are going to deserve a little time away from the practice field to get their minds right, to get their bodies right. Because if you're not like one of the folks, I guess, who see them every day at practice, these dudes are putting the time 1,000%.
Well, my story is a little less interesting, but I'm going to crack a cold one to our receiver, Zay Jones. Yesterday, we were out on the practice field while they were at minicamp, and he ran this sick route and then caught the ball. And then as he was running the route, he kind of ran off of the field onto the pavement where the media was. And he saw that I was wearing a Michael Jackson Bad Tour 1988 shirt. And he looked at me after he caught the ball, and he was like, I like that shirt, man. And then he ran back on the field. So shout out to you, Zay. I appreciate the fact that you appreciate the shirt. So I'm cracking a cold one for the new number 7, Zay Jones. Cracking a cold one for the king.
Friend of the program, Zay Jones. Zay's a good dude, man. And we're excited to see what he's going to do on the field this year in that snazzy new number of his. So on that note, I can't think of a better way to get out of here. So for Eddie Pascal, Levi Edwards, our friend Alexandra behind the glass who makes us sound oh so much better than we actually do, and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions who helps get us from who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And quick programming note, Raider Nation, I'm going on my honeymoon finally, so no show next week. You guys can do without it for 1 week as I sit on the beach and drink beers in Aruba. So do not get worried. When we get back from vacation, I'm out a week, and then we will be back refreshed, ready to go with another episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.